Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 11 for October 17th, 2006. iPhone Home. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, your weekly look into the world of Macintosh computers and phones. And with us today, the woman who was on the very first Mac Break Weekly. We haven't seen her in 10 episodes, but we're glad she's back. Amber Mack.
Hello there.
She has to be on Mac Break Weekly. She's got the name for it.
I do have a pretty good name. It's a good name for someone who's a big Mac fan,
I have to say. It's Amber MacArthur, but did you, like when you became a Mac person, did you shorten it, or were you always Amber Mac?
Well, the truth is that I really wanted a short domain name, and Amber Mac seemed to work, and I was able to get that. So it just ended up working out well in a lot of different ways.
She's so with it. She changes her name to match her domain. Merlin Mann, we're going to call him 43 from now on.
Actually, well, my given name is Merlin XP, but I
that would be sad. That would be, you'd have to change your name. Merlin is 40, actually, so we can just turn 40. Happy birthday!
In November. Give me another month.
Oh, you're not there yet?
I'm getting there very soon.
When's your birthday?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. See, this is the problem.
Yeah.
It's sometime.
Going on Wikipedia right now.
It's probably on there, isn't it?
You can start the entry, Amber.
You know, it's great because I'm going to turn 50 in November.
I think you do real well.
For someone my age?
Yeah.
Thank
you. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I get around still. I got the walker. Scott Bourne is also here from iLife Zone, the newest member of the TWiT family. Scott, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you, and having shoes older than all of you, I'm feeling
You're
quite old.
You're not that old, Scott. Come on. But you are the grandmaster here. We've got 30, 40, 50, and Scott.
So 52. Stop it.
See, you're not that old. See what I'm saying? You're not in AARP yet.
No, but I'm pretty darn close. I am getting the special meals.
That's nice. You know who is 5 years old, coming up on Monday? The iPod celebrating its birthday, October 23rd, 2001. I still have a first-generation iPod, and it looks pretty clunky next to the new ones, I have to say.
Yeah, totally.
Do you remember your first iPod?
Oh God, my first iPod, I think it was $7,000. It held 256K, if I remember.
Yeah.
And it weighed about 14 pounds.
Yeah, that was not including the battery pack.
Well, the battery pack you had to wear on your back.
Right.
Remember that?
We strapped it on, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. It's incredible, especially looking at my wife's Nano next to like my original white iPod. It's just unbelievable.
What was your first iPod, Amber? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I was actually with you on Call for Help, Leo, when I got the iPod Mini.
The pink Mini? That was your first one, huh?
That was the first one that I got, and I was a big fan of that for quite a while. And I don't have a Nano yet, but I'm going to get one because it's just so small and slick.
The new Nanos are basically shrunk minis.
Yeah, they really are. So they're just a lot better. And I don't know if you remember, I took my iPod Mini apart with the hairdryer to change the battery, and then it's never been the same. I used the tweezers to open it up.
Is it kind of loose, like the parts are just kind of rattly?
It's quite loose. It looks kind of sick because the glue is kind of over the sides of the iPod. Kind of like my PowerBook when I took that apart as well. So
I think the reason Amber left Call for Help is because she just wanted some of her equipment to continue working. We kept drilling holes and things and taking apart things and frying eggs. Didn't you cook an egg with what was that with?
Well, that was part of our sort of Mythbusters thing where we were trying to see if we could cook an egg with two cell phones. And it definitely doesn't work. But for some reason, it seemed like a good idea to try it and do it as a segment.
You stand there a long, long time. Now at City TV, see, they don't make you do anything like that, do they?
No, no eggs involved yet.
You just have to exchange emails with crazy Spanish guys working for Kim Jong-il.
Yes, that was bizarre, I have to say.
It was her story yesterday, and it was really weird. This guy from Spain is becoming like the chief propaganda minister on the internet for North Korea.
Yeah, he started running their site in the year 2000, and he's kept it up, and he dresses up in military uniforms for North Korea, so he's a bit of a fanboy.
I want a big hat. You know, I want the Banana Republic hat. You know, they have those big general's hats, like Noriega hat. Those are cool. So the interesting article in MacRumors.com talking about the first iPod, and I didn't know this, but Phil Schiller suggested the scroll wheel interface. And also, he was the one who said menus should go faster the longer the wheels turned. I think those are the kind of the key inventions that make the iPod what it is today.
It works really good, Leo, and I'm somebody who bought one of the first ones, and it still works.
Oh, yeah. My first gen is still working, although who wants a 5-gig iPod that weighs as much as a brick?
I actually use it as a backup drive when I'm on the road.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
There was somewhere this week I caught a quote that was attributed to Jobs that, whether or not it's true, is a good quote, which is that, you know, something along the lines of the design is more about, you know, more than about the way something looks, it's about the way that it feels and the way that it works. And I think that's
absolutely
really true of the iPod. And now more than ever. I mean, I guess I feel like, again, I'm still discovering little updates on my iPod, like that ability to fly through a list really fast and then another letter shows up. I mean, little things like that. It just seems to me that there are, not to be a fanboy here, but it seems like they're really watching the way people use this stuff and finding those points where people hang up and then kind of just lightly sanding off those edges a little bit at a time.
That's a new feature, though. That's the new iPod where the letters show up, right?
That's right.
Yeah, because Leo, I did a segment on that, if you remember, on Call for Help, how to get the old iPods to do that.
I know, like 3 days before they put this out. And it was a great segment because was that from Lifehacker? It was you create.
Yeah, it was from Lifehacker where you got to go make all the. Yeah, I did that. It was such a pain.
And then.
Yeah, me too.
And then Apple fixes it. Well, that's all right because that's just kind of in the grand tradition of Call for Help doing stuff that before it airs is now completely obsolete. Steve Jobs.
Like YouTube.
Well, hey, you discovered YouTube. You get credit.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't Steve Chen give you credit, though, for being the first TV person to show YouTube on the air?
Yeah, he might. That's possible, yeah, I have to say. And I wrote him the other day, and he wrote me back an email. And he said, yeah, things are great. We're really excited. He said, how's life with you? And I haven't written it back yet because I just can't compete.
Was it covered with money? Was it just like dripping dollar bills off of it as it came in the mail? $1.65 billion. How's life? Yeah, things are going pretty well here. Yeah. Just sold the company for $1.65 billion, yeah.
Oh, wait, that was you.
Ever there was an understatement.
Yeah, it's okay. Things are okay. Jobs is on the cover of this week's Newsweek to celebrate the anniversary of the iPod. The front has a picture of Steve holding up his iPod, looking kind of scarily ominous as he looks over the top of it. And the title, the headline is, iPod, Therefore I Am. How does Newsweek get away with this kind of... I mean, I'm a fanboy, but that's ridiculous. Here's the best quote, though. They asked him about the Zune. Steve says, I've seen the demonstrations on the internet about how you can find another person using a Zune and give them a song that they can play 3 times. It takes forever. By the time you've gone through all that, the girl's got up and left. You're much better off to take one of your earbuds out and put it in her ear. Then you're then you're connected with about 2 feet of headphone cable.
Oh, creepy.
Steve Jobs pickup techniques. Amber, what do you think? Steve sidles up to you and says, here, listen, and gives you one of his earbuds.
Put this in your ear.
Put this in your ear.
Yeah, that's a little creepy, even though I do like Steve Jobs.
If he licks it, it's a wet willy, isn't it?
Oh, no. We could have gone all show without hearing that. Yeah.
I would want to have some eye protection if I was going to put that anyplace.
I don't want anybody putting an earbud in my ear that he's been using.
Yeah, I guess maybe he has a way with women, though, you know. He might get a little more slack because he is Steve Jobs, but I think it's pretty gross.
Steve Jobs pickup lines. One bad story about the iPod this week. In fact, it just broke moments before we go to press. It turns out that they've been shipping iPods with a Windows virus on it. Did you see that?
Yeah,
it's a little bit of an embarrassment. And, you know, it's a really special feature that doesn't cost anything extra. And you get to experience a little bit of that blue screen of death on your iPod.
Now, they say it's less than 1%, but... I mean, that still could be hundreds of thousands. And it's if you're not using a Mac, if you're using a Mac, you're not susceptible. It's a Windows virus. The Windows RavMon.exe.
So does that kick in if you go over with your iPod into Parallels or Boot Camp?
Yes, absolutely. You'd get it on your Parallels, but not on your Mac.
just another reason not to try that.
Yeah. A small number, less than 1% of the video iPods, it's not any of the others, not the Nano, available for purchase after September 12th, carried the Windows RavMon EEXE virus. So that means, I guess, that and the Chinese manufacturer had the virus. It appears the virus propagates to a PC when iPod connecting. The virus is double-clicked in Windows Explorer. It's a worm. It doesn't spread through the network, though.
It looks like on Daring Fireball, Gruber linked to a story where there's been 25 or fewer, as he points out, reports of this showing up out in the wild. Yeah. So I mean, maybe it's just something they're just not discovering them yet.
Well, Windows users are notorious for not noticing they've got a virus.
That's normal behavior there, Marge.
That's unkind.
As long as we're doing iPod stories, I'm actually curious what you think about this. I'm playing the video right now. Liverpool Street MobileClubbing.com flash mob happened Ooh. About five. You know, what is a flash mob?
That's when a bunch of people organize themselves either online or usually it is online, and they meet somewhere kind of that's quite planned in advance, and they get together and they do something crazy. Like, for instance, in Toronto, they have flash mobs where people get together. They have a giant pillow fight in front of City Hall.
So, I like that.
It's pretty neat, and they just organize themselves and meet up somewhere and do something crazy. And usually shoot it and put it online.
Well, you can go to YouTube and see this one. This was it's mobile clubbing, mobile-clubbing.com, and they tell you bring your iPod, show up at a locale. In this case, it was, looks like the Liverpool Street Tube Station in London. And as soon as the clock strikes 1924, 7:24 in the evening, everyone starts dancing. And they say spread out so that you don't be considered a mob, I guess.
Wow, that's neat. And I've seen some video for that. And it's pretty impressive. And there's such interesting flash mobs all over the world. There's just people
like
doing it
idea.
Constantly.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is why people hate webloggers.
Have you ever been part of a flash mob? Anybody?
Are you asking me?
Anybody.
I'm a lonely man with nothing to do.
I know. You sit in your basement with your specially
designed... Well, you know, as you know, Leo, my family lives in a hobo camp just outside of town. And our means are modest, but I don't know. I mean, that's kind of cute. But that's... I mean, you know, the thing is, it was really hilarious the first time somebody did it. And then it became this thing where people were anticipating it. And,
well, it's fun to be part of, though, don't you think? How about you, Amber? Have you ever been around? Did you see a flash mob ever?
I don't actually want to join one. I just want people to keep doing them so I can watch them on YouTube.
Amber's seen every video on YouTube. You know, I every once in a while I run across something on YouTube and I think, oh, I should send this to Amber. And I think, oh, no, she's good. So I sent her one the other day. She said, yeah, I saw that. And it just takes the fun out of it. That's your job, right?
You know, it's kind of interesting because, as I've been told, my job is really monitoring the internet, and it's pretty damn big.
It's big.
It's big, and there's a lot going on, and if I miss anything, it's not a good thing. So I've been, you know, working pretty long hours to keep track of everything.
It's hard to keep track of the internet. On your last day, which won't be for many years, I'm sure, but on your last day, I want you to come on and say, I reached the end. There's no more internet. It's over. I've been to the end, and I've seen it, and it's over.
Then I'll actually be living in North Korea, Leo. So.
Yeah, you might be.
Wearing a big hat.
A big hat, exactly.
Marrying Alejandro, the fanboy.
Yeah. Oh, he was a character. It was really interesting. Yeah.
What you could do, Amber, is you could say you found the very last tube.
Ah, Ooh. That's it.
It's a series of tubes.
And I could invite a flash mob to meet me there.
Yes.
You know what's scaring? This?
I'll moblog it.
Yeah, moblogs. Whatever happened to moblogs?
That's so last month.
Last month, I think it's last century. I still have a Moblog because Amber and I interviewed Nakama, which is a Moblog company. They're just starting up a new Moblog company, and I'm the only one uploading to it. Me and some lonely guy. It's kind of sad. But
is this the thing that you were using, Amber, where it's an easy photo posting kind of thing?
Yeah,
it's easy. I haven't been using it at all. You know,
she hasn't actually posted anything. This is what Amber does. She sucks me into these sites. Then she moves on, and I'm stuck there. I still have a Vox account.
Now, we can joke about the stuff all we want, but I think this is going to be a huge source of growth as more people get phones that can do this stuff.
Too, yeah.
And I mean, and I, you know, I kid, but I mean, I do this stuff all the time. I have a Flickr account where I post junk all the time. I admit I have taken pictures of my half-eaten dessert and posted it. But
that was the big thing for a while, is what I'm eating for dinner.
Here's my food.
Here's my food. There were. I remember when Text America started. That was it. It was like pictures of people's dinner.
Blogging's going to get interesting when we see the other end of that. That's yeah, what really is good.
What's at the other end of that? Breakfast?
The I don't tubes.
Know. No, that's not exactly what he had in mind, Leo.
But anyway, I think it's going to be a huge piece of growth.
Oh,
and
as, I get
you know,
it now.
As the 3G stuff gets out and people this you know bandwidth opens up, I mean the ability to post. The first time I was able to post to it was actually Vox, Leo, where I know you're a.
I'm a regular Voxer.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, and the first time I was able to post video from my phone, I just thought that was about the coolest thing ever. So I think this is something we're going to see a lot more of. You know,
I agree. And you know, the new phones like the Nokia N93, which actually have very high quality video and Wi-Fi, are going to make a great platform for that. I look at what my son does. I got him a Chocolate, which is the LG phone that no one can figure out how to use except people under 12. Well, he's got it down. It's got weird buttons that disappear and stuff. I mean, literally, it's got disappearing buttons on it. He takes movies. They're filming like a mini Jackass. I'm not kidding. On his phone.
Did you catch the story about when the plane went into the building in New York and Fox was first? You might want to fact check me on this, but I think Fox, the local Fox affiliate, somebody from Fox was first on the scene, and they were shooting with Trios. They'd given all their around Trios, and I guess they have some kind of a proprietary network or something where they've got some pretty fat tubes to send this stuff to the studio. But I mean, basically, it's brilliant. So you look at all these bloggers that are kind of AirSats journalists, while at the same time, all the journalists are picking up all these tricks of bloggers. And that's fascinating to me. Like the idea that a Trio could be out there reporting the news. You know?
Amber did a story of that on CNI last week.
Yeah, and the plane crash and just what bloggers were doing. Because it was interesting, if you were actually watching the blogs just after the plane crash, they were updating almost faster than a lot of the news sites. And yeah, I did a segment on it. It was interesting to watch. There was a blogs like The Gothamist, I think, was the one that almost broke a couple of different stories.
Wow. Beautiful. And they had beautiful images. And, I mean, they were very dramatic images. Yeah.
You know anything about how they're doing that fat video, Amber? How they're getting like high-quality video out of a small unit like that?
No, but it's a fantastic idea, and I'm going to go pitch it as my own tomorrow, Merlin.
Well, somebody like City, I mean, I think that's brilliant of Fox. That, you know, especially once these N93s come out with these high-quality camera phones, that's natural for news gathering. I mean, it's just out there.
So they actually
did you say
phones?
Say again?
They gave people phones? Is that...
I think they've actually... I mean, again, Mr. Fact Check, but I'm pretty sure
this is a podcast. We don't have to check our facts.
Oh, God, thank... What a relief.
Oh, yeah.
Then we should talk about iPhones later.
We are going to. I'm teasing Scott by putting
teasing
the story
Scott.
Off.
Come on!
It's like Christmas Day, and we just like keep wanting to make coffee while he keeps staring at the presents.
Oh, I've got to make eggs for everybody before you sit down to open your present, Scott. I'm just sitting here rocking back and forth.
Go pee.
Yeah, but I think they gave them to all their news people and said, hey, here's this Trios, I think it's 700W. And I don't know the details on this because I never learned the details on anything. But I think the 700Ws are like wired up in such a way. I'm telling you, Amber, go talk. Get Dave Onley on this. Like, find out what's going on. You guys need these.
I think we do.
This is a guy who works at Citi. We should explain. We're going to be full of Toronto references now.
Oh, sorry.
I love it. No,
sorry.
I'm sorry. You know, speaking of Ted Stevens, I may be moving to Toronto. I just learned that he is third in line for succession to the presidency.
What?
That would do it. That would do it.
Listen to who's next in line. Of course, Vice President Cheney, Dennis Hastert as the Speaker of the House, and then as President Pro Tem of the Senate, Ted Stevens. So it's Cheney, Hastert, Stevens. That's scary.
He's going to get a special tube that takes him right to the White House.
Condoleezza Rice is like way down the list. I don't know why.
Scott, it's not a truck.
It's not a truck? The internet is not a truck. It's a tube.
It's a series of tubes.
I have that sound somewhere. I should play that. We had fun with it on a Twit some months ago. We got a lot of mileage out of that, Ted Stevens. And a couple of people wrote me and said, you know, he's been great for Alaska. Well, it's true. He has been. All right. We're not going to tease Scott anymore.
Thank you.
The iPhone. What? It wouldn't be a Mac Break Weekly without an iPhone story, and we've got three of them this week.
I'm ready. Nobody will sell you a brand new iPhone for less money than Apple.
So what do you want to start with? The trademark application in some strange Eastern European nation?
Trademarks are a great place to start because we know that the Apple IP, as in intellectual property lawyers, try to hold off on that stuff to the very last minute. And that's
knowing that that will trigger rumor sites going crazy.
I'm here to make the first prediction, Leo. When you and I are sitting at the keynote in January at Macworld, we will see the new iPhone.
All right. And you get to punch me really hard in the arm if you're right.
And it's just so great. The moment I've been waiting for.
Okay. So it's a September 15th trademark filing in Far Eastern trademark office, describing the iPhone as, quote, handheld and mobile digital electronic devices for the sending and receiving of telephone calls. Ooh.
It sounds like a Newton with an antenna.
Faxes, electronic mail, and other digital data. MP3 and other digital format audio players. It may also consist of electronic handheld units for the wireless receipt and or transmission of data that enable the user to keep track of or manage personal information.
Doesn't that just put a smile on your face?
They also trademarked a standalone video game machine. But now the plot thickens because that's not all. An analyst today the International Business Times story. According to, who was this? Prudential Equities, Jesse Tortora. Based upon our recent checks, we expect Apple to unveil, get ready, this is Scott's moment to crow, two models of its widely anticipated cell phones in early 2007.
Yeah. If I had any children, I would rename them to iPhone Born.
I don't understand. You know what? This thing's going to come out. Scott's going to buy like four, and he's going to hate it. It's going to be awful. And then we have to listen to him bitch and moan about it for another five episodes. We've learned one model will be a smartphone, including integrated keyboard. Sounds like a trio. Video and music capability. The other will be a slimmer phone with music capability, and at least one of the models will include Wi-Fi. You know, when the analysts start saying it, though, it sounds like there may be some credence to this.
No, wait a minute. You did. When I started saying it, you ignored it. So when the analysts start saying it, that's when you believe it.
Well, you could. If you were, are you an analyst?
I can analyze things.
I guess that's true. Why do I give analysts any clout at all? Because
I went to college.
They're speaking for Prudential, though, right? This is a staid firm. They're not going to just kind of go off the cuff, are they? No, Amber, would you like an iPhone? That's enthusiastic.
I have to say, I don't know what it is, but I've never really gotten into phones and to surfing the web and putting songs on my phone. I just love my laptop. I love my MacBook. And to me, a phone is just something that you end up talking on, and that's pretty much it. And
you like your new Samsung. You were very excited when you got that.
I was excited when I got it. I don't like it as much anymore, and that's just because I'm having trouble actually sending photos and videos from it. I do like it, but I still can't totally get into the handheld devices. Because I carry my MacBook everywhere. That's part of it as well.
I noticed that on City TV. You have it with you always. Apple's getting a lot of plugs.
It's not easy getting a MacBook in there either. So
I'm impressed. Apple must be very happy.
Yeah, it's not good at a new job to sort of refuse to use the PC on air because it's not cool.
Oh, really? They want you to use their Windows laptop?
Well, they did. And I had to sort of explain to them that I'm a Mac user and I need to preserve that reputation. And they were great about it after a while, but I'm sure they think
good
I'm crazy.
Good for you.
But
she's doing her part to keep the Apple out there. I have to say, it sounds like when they describe it, just another phone. Why, Scott, do you think this will be so much better?
Well, we've covered this probably to death, but because it's going to sync, number one. Number two, it's going to look, feel, taste, smell, and sound like Apple, number two. And number three, I just want one.
Now, here's the third and I think the most intriguing story. T-Mobile gave a press conference on Friday. Their chief executive, Robert Dotson, according to ABC News, discussed at some length about how Apple and T-Mobile's visions seem to be aligned. Like, out of the blue, he starts talking about Apple and says, I really like Leopard. So,
very interesting. And Leopard is, it's, to me, this is where, I mean, as long as we're going to speculate, we might as well really, really get interesting about it. We also saw this week where there's some speculation about portable user accounts in Leopard.
Right.
This is where it gets really interesting, because I've got to admit, I'm with Amber. I mean, I like, you know, kind of the whizziness of a new device and playing with it. But when I really need to get something done, I tend to want to do it on my Mac. But, you know, this whole idea of taking sync to the next level and being able to, like, treat your phone like kind of like a really big USB thumb drive almost. So that ability, for example, so I'm imagining even a fairly light version of this where I could sync up all my preferences and my keychain and stuff like that. That's potentially kind of powerful.
There are a number of products like that now on the Windows side that are doing exactly that. They put them on a USB drive and your entire, you know, all your settings, all your preferences, all your applications are on the USB drive. You go somewhere like work where they won't let you install anything, you can still run your desktop in effect.
Well, that's taken to an extreme in Linux now where you can just get a You can run Firefox, run the whole nine off,
right.
And you walk into a store and plug it in. I think what's fascinating here is, I mean, I like thumb drives, but ultimately the thing that I'm always going to carry with me when I go out, as my hate to admit it, but it's going to be like my wallet and my phone. You know what I mean? It's something I could have with me anywhere.
Yeah,
and
So no, it makes perfect sense, especially if your iPod becomes part of that trio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your wallet, your phone, and then your phone is your iPod. It's your camera. It's your day timer, it's all of that stuff in one.
I'm on my fourth phone that theoretically plays music. And
yeah, they just don't do
they're
it.
All, I mean, I like this music a lot more than most people do. A lot of people are ragging it, but the Sprint phone they're throwing around. But I mean, that, I got a Palm, I've had that Samsung, they're all fine. But as a music player, they're just, it's pointless.
I don't know how
to buy it as a music player, like, forget it.
I have Windows Media Player on my phone. That is such an awful thing to have on your phone.
Ew, I have to go now.
Ew, I don't want to have
unclean.
Anything to do with you.
Unclean.
But, you know, I have podcasts on my phone, so that's kind of cool. I mean, and so I can listen to podcasts. In fact, that's the new thing is a lot of people approach me everywhere I go saying, we'd like to put Twit on a phone. It seems to be a very popular concept.
Do you think people will actually listen to podcasts on a phone, Leo?
I don't know. I always, when they say that, I go, oh, that's nice. Go ahead. I don't go crazy over the idea. At Podcast Expo, a woman said, so here's what we're going to do. You will SMS us that you want a podcast, and then we'll send you via SMS back a link, and you'll click that link, and the podcast will play. And I said, and meanwhile, you're harvesting my phone number, and I'm going to start getting junk mail from you. She said, well,
junk is such an ugly word.
Junk is such a nasty word. I think people are sensitive to that kind of thing. They're not going to say.
Yeah, I actually think the podcasts are a terrific use of that. I mean, as much as this, I think I always call it. I want to call it a Lusik, but it's the LG Fusik. I mean, it's actually kind of cool in some ways. It's, I mean, like for example, like my Trio will sync with missing sync. I can pull stuff over like that. I don't know if I could stream it.
You
know, but
I have
a two gigabyte
card in my phone, and I listen to Audible books. I listen to podcasts, and actually, it is a perfect, especially because it's a lo-fi device. Although, explain to me why you can't listen to them in your earpiece.
This is the little sister of that problem, which is, it's still baffling to me that, I mean, just for Joe Consumer, that I have to have some kind of special super, super skinny little jack to go in there.
Oh, it's
every
crazy
phone I've got that has a headphone, I've got to have this little.
They finally got the idea that you can charge with a USB jack. So now finally we can use our USB, you know, connectors on these newer phones. And what about? Yeah, I agree with you. You got to have an earpiece, standard earpiece.
Can I ask a question here, though? Okay, so we have spent, well, I think it's been about 19 weeks talking about the iPhone, and we all sit around.
And we
all. I know it's because Scott, God bless him, but we sit around and we drool about this stuff. Now
I'm not drooling. I'm not that interested.
Well, I want to ask. I we We didn't plan this. We didn't talk about this, but I want to toss this out. If there were going to be an iPhone, you smart people who understand business, what are really – so we've got all this speculation that we're cobbling together, but what are the real markers in the business community that this is something that's coming? Like, as somebody who's just kind of like reading rumor sites and rolling their eyes, from what you guys have seen in the past, where do you really watch to see the indicators that something is actually going to go to market?
We don't know business. We're Mac users.
But do you understand what I'm saying, though? I mean, is there any way to take this beyond just the complete speculation angle? And are there?
Well, I think now we're. I mean, I agree with Scott. As soon as they start trademarking and you see analysts saying this, I think they're getting close.
What do the analysts know?
More than Scott does. I don't know, Scott. You're the closest to somebody who has business acumen in this room. What do you think?
Oh, well, thank you. I did an IPO. I know a little bit about business.
Yeah.
I think that you
so did pets.com.
Okay, thanks. That was good.
I got a sock puppet with your name on it, Scott.
Merlin, there's a special place for you as a result of that comment.
Hey, I did my time, buddy. I was in the trenches in Menlo.
Okay.
I saw my buddies die in Menlo.
I saw the best minds of my generation go down Sand Hill Road.
Hysterical, naked, driving down Menlo Avenue, crying late into the night. Scott, business.
The business tip-off is, like Leo said, the trademark. People don't go out and spend money on trademarks just for shooting the breeze. Secondly, there are a lot of other pieces, which we have discussed, as you say, for 19 weeks, even though we've been on the air for 12, that talk about things like, well, we have one little piece of the puzzle where Apple did a deal with a cell phone company. Then we have another little patent on a design application. We see all this stuff coming. It's pretty obvious it's going to happen. And frankly, it's one of those spaces that Apple is not quite up to snuff with the Windows world. Leo mentioned that all of this stuff is already available on Windows phones.
So circumstantial evidence plus business insight.
Well, here's the deal. Here's all you
like,
got to know.
It isn't like okay, a big order.
I'm going to give you 30 more seconds to talk about this lame-ass story, and then we're going to move on.
Merlin, here's what you got to know. I'm going to buy you one of these phones. And then when you learn how to use it productively, you can teach me. That's all we need to say.
Scott, I don't want you to squander your precious pets.com money. I want you to hang on.
We're going to start a new website, 43phones.com.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for the rat hole.
I don't blame you. I blame Bourne.
Listen, we're going to rename this podcast the iPhone Podcast. Every week, we're going to give you the latest in iPhone news right here.
Hey, latest thing we read on some site.
I just want to quote. Let me see if I can get it. Get this right here. Der podcasten Yaren, der person of the Yaren, who said, ich danke Apple für alles, was sie vor uns getan haben, aber sie gab uns schon Bewusstsein offen sprachen sind.
Das tradition ist in mein Abend.
I have no idea what I said, but I said it. This is from a Swiss newspaper that's quoting me in German, which is a strange experience. But apparently, as best I can make out, this Swiss newspaper, I'm told this is the biggest daily in Switzerland, is taking up the Netcast arm to challenge a call. The last subtitle is "Für Netcast ist es schon zu spät," which sounds good to me. So.
Well, here's the problem. When you mention Netcast from the podium of your keynote,
do you realize
what happened? Every single human being with access to the internet at that moment registered every possible domain with the word Netcast in it. And, you know, our friend This Week in Law was sitting next to me and she goes, well, there goes every single Netcast domain.
Well, what the hell? I mean, you're right. In fact, I checked, and a number of them were registered exactly at that time.
It was exactly 9:12 a.m. on September 29th.
A date that will live in infamy.
I also mentioned that somebody should have set up a website, idonthaveanipod.com, where people could just go To find out how to listen to podcasts if you don't have an iPod. And that was registered in 9.12 as well. So you're right. I probably should learn. I should know now after doing live TV for a few years. You probably got to be careful about that kind of
thing. Thank goodness for Amber that you didn't say something about Amber Mac before she went to register her domain.
Wow.
That's good. It's a very good point.
But the point is that I did an interview yesterday in Mexico City, an article in this Swiss journal. But internationally, I think they're picking up on it more than they are in the U.S. Oddly enough, I'm not sure.
You sticking with this? Is this your line in the sand? You're going with Netcast?
Yeah, we're everything. Your Twitter is.
I've heard it. Netcast. I've heard you guys do it. I didn't know if it was. I mean, you're sticking with this though. Is the point?
Well, I wasn't gonna, but it's starting to get some traction. I mean, people are, and I think people realize that there is a. It's not that the podcast is going to go away. You know who's using Netcast now? CBS was using it. NBC is now using it. It's not that it's going to go away, but I think we need to have another word that's also somewhat understood so that people like CBS and NBC who don't want to get kind of in Apple's jelly or Microsoft, who's avoided the whole term podcast, could have something else to use.
Yeah, you can't get a Netcast or a podcast on a Zune, though.
No, you can't get nothing on a Zune except Steve Jobs' earwax.
Well, Frank Barnico contacted me today, Leo, and wants to know if we're going to go forward with this. So if Frank Barnico's interested, it's a story.
CBS Market Watch, ladies and gentlemen. I like
That's
this
right.
story in Computer World. Apple hired a French consultant. Always a good idea. When you want to get something done, hire a French consultant. And
you're making friends internationally today,
Leo. Yeah, I know. No, they know I love them. I kid because
you
I love
You kid because you love. Yeah. Look at this guy over here.
They know that. They did a study... that proves 30-inch displays make employees more productive.
Oh, that's I believe that.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I usually have my two computers set up, and I think I am definitely way more productive.
You need a 30-inch display, Amber.
Yeah, I think if the bigger the monitor and the more screen space you have, I think you would be able to do more. You could multitask.
Yep, you save 13.63 seconds when moving files between folders, 15.7 seconds... compared to 29.3 seconds on a 17-inch monitor. That's a 46% increase in productivity. 65% productivity gain when dragging and dropping between images. And cutting and pasting from Excel spreadsheets, you save 51% of your time.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is...
you believe
it,
don't
you? On this.
You believe it.
Oh, this is... Well, Scott, did you look at those links I sent you about this stuff?
I did. Merlin and I had an offline conversation about this, Leo, and I was asking Merlin, did he think 1 30-inch was better than two smaller screens? And
that's a good question.
I ended up solving the problem by buying three 23-inch cinema displays.
I was going to say 2 30-inches would be the way to go.
No, I bought three 23-inches.
23. Do you have room on your desk?
Yes. Yes. And it's particularly good when you run Pro Tools to have three monitors.
I bet it is. You must have peripheral vision, 180-degree peripheral vision, though.
Yeah. So you have to have three video cards, too.
The thing about this that I think it's probably might be patently obvious to people, but the first way that you see a huge leap in productivity is what I would call not having to go through like a modal change, right? So ordinarily, you think back to the days of Multifinder and having to move between applications. And hasn't actually gotten that much better today. But now, I mean, that ability to actually see the two things that you're working on, it sounds really stupid until you actually do it. But once you're doing it, you never want to go back. The ability to see both applications or three applications or whatever that you're working on, there's just that you never go back because you don't have to be flipping back and forth. And you don't have to kind of consciously shift your attention to go pick up a piece of information in your brain from one other place. And it's huge. And like I said to Scott, I sent him some links. I think her name's Mary Zerwinski, works at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. She's got a boatload of research on this stuff. She was in the New York Times article that I was in a few months back, and she's super smart. And if you go just Google her name, we could maybe put her in show notes. She's got a lot of really interesting research on this.
So what's the conclusion? One big screen or two 24s?
I would guess it depends on what it is that you're trying to do. I think for most people, I mean, this is just gut check, but I think for most people, one huge screen is probably fine.
I mean, we're talking $2,000 here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean,
Go with Dell, it's only $1,800.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the 223s being a lot. I'm just thinking, you know, in terms of the trade-off, in terms of foot, print, unless you get one of those big things with all the pipes where you can do like six of them. Have you seen those?
Yes.
It looks like a control booth.
They're for traders. Those are for traders, I think.
Right. But
I want to ask Amber what she thinks, because in these articles they mentioned that women tend to do better if the screen is wider. Do you have any feeling about that, Amber?
I don't know about the screen being wider. I actually like having two or three computers on my desk. I think it's really just a powerful thing to be able to jump between the computers. I don't know why I've always been like that, just because even at Call for Help, I often had a PC and then a Mac.
I have so many pictures of Amber with computers arrayed in front of her.
Yeah.
Do you use a KVM for that?
No. No.
She uses a swivel stool.
Yeah, I use the swivel stool. That's it. It's just old
high
school.
Tech.
I don't know. There's just something about it. I think it's just because you're bouncing from computer to computer. So I don't know. Maybe wired screen would be better, but I haven't really had a chance to really be on a really wide screen.
I love this 30, I have to say. The only thing is it throws quite a bit of heat. So it's something to be aware of. If you're on a hot day, there's quite a bit of heat coming. Do you notice that, Merlin?
I haven't gotten too much heat. Have you guys experimented at all with that, what do they call it, monitor bias lighting, the thing where you light your monitor from the back to make it easier on your eyes? Does that really work, Scott?
Absolutely works. And the secret is to get a child's nightlight and put it right behind your monitor. Oh, my gosh, what a difference.
You know, that's funny because instinctively I've done that. I have a light behind my monitor, and there's this glow around the periphery. But it's true that your eyes need that. In fact, they always said when you're watching TV, you shouldn't turn off all the lights, but have another light in the room.
If it's behind the monitor, your eyes just adjust much better, and it's way, way cool.
Well, we've really fascinating. Hey, Merlin.
Do you have trouble reading the text on the 30-inch, Leo, with your older eyes?
Yeah, but I make it bigger. And you know what's really nice, and I have to commend Apple for this. You know the new control scroll.
Oh, that's just killer.
I love control scroll. Isn't that fantastic? And for TV, it's really good because I'm sitting there demonstrating something, and I want to zoom in on it. I just move my mouse over it. Of course, you have to have a scroll wheel mouse. Press the control key, and then scroll in and scroll out, and it's just really great. And move the mouse around.
Two cool little tricks you can do with that. One you probably already know is you know that zooming, I think this works on actual Google Maps. I know it works on Google Earth, where you can actually zoom in using your scroll wheel. And the other one is you can really quickly simulate a full screen mode by just scrolling in a tiny bit while you have a document filling your screen.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Oh, I didn't think of that. And, of course, if you hold the command key, it increases the size of the text in your browser. So that's another useful.
Really?
Yeah, command scroll.
Control command?
No, not control. Just command scroll in your browser.
Wow.
Go ahead, try it right now. I'll wait. I wish everything did that. Because that is very useful on a big screen monitor, because it is true that sometimes, especially some sites have tiny type, and this way you can get it much bigger.
I think the computers in our hobo camp don't have this yet.
Yes, they do. Macs have had this for ages. That's older than the control scroll.
And by the way, the control scroll works on the new MacBook Pros and MacBooks on the trackpad with the two-finger trackpad.
Oh, that's nice.
In case you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I do that. I actually, now when I edit audio, because people care, when I edit audio, I actually prefer to do it on the MacBook because of that trick. It's so much easier to zoom in and out with the two fingers. It's super fast.
Good idea. Let's see. What other stories? Merlin and I are both working on... when's your judging for My Dream app? Is that coming soon?
My judging, such as it was, has already happened.
It's done.
I don't think I had a very positive influence because most of mine didn't make it. The ones that I was excited about. But yeah, My Dream App, we haven't talked about that on here.
We haven't. I want to give them a plug. It's mydreamapp.com. And it's kind of a clever idea. I don't know who's responsible for it or how he thought it up, but they asked
Philip Ryu, is that his name?
Philip Ryu is a guy I've been talking to. Is it his thing?
I believe it is.
It's beautifully done. It's a really nice website. I don't think it's getting as much attention as it deserves. The idea...
Go ahead.
...is they got together, I think, 24 developers.
It's like American Idol for notional Mac apps.
Actually, these aren't developers. The contestants are just people, right?
That's right.
But they have four developers who will develop the winner. They'll actually write the program. And they got really four good developers. Jason Harris... who wrote Chicken of the VNC, and Austin Sarner from AppZapper, and Martin Ott from Subitha Edit, and John Casanta, who did iClip. So these guys kind of weigh in because they've got to write it. But then they have every round they have celebrity judges. Kevin Rose and I did the most recent round, and a few other people. Amber, are you involved in this too?
No, I keep getting emails from them, and I know that it's been going on for a while, so I've kept my eye on it. I think
it's really
cool. A fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So
it definitely makes sense.
We're down, I think, to the final five or six, final six. And it looks like the GTD kind of lost out in the last round of voting, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was actually wasn't all that excited about that. Not because, I mean, it's a neat
we need
idea,
it, but it's very hard to implement. And I don't think he had any ideas about
what
to implement.
Do. Yeah, it's all these kind of all-in-one Swiss Army knife.
I like this Blossom. Did you like Blossom?
I love Blossom. Blossom, I think, I did a quick glance at the latest round, and I think Blossom is one of the only ones that I really like that's still in.
There's two I like that are still in. Blossom, the idea is
it's a great idea.
It's a virtual plant. I would think that you'd like this, actually, Merlin. And Amber, you would probably like it, too. It's a virtual plant that doesn't respond to sunlight and water, but to your productivity. And you set what the parameters are. So, it grows as you work hard. And if you play too many games, it withers.
The devil's in the details with that one, though. Because, like I said, do you say that email is good or email is bad? Well, to me, email is good if I get rid of it, which takes time in the email app.
Right.
Maybe something like how often you check NetNewsWire.
That would be good. How often you check your email? Yeah, that'd be good.
That's right.
Amber just wrote a good article for her Calgary, the Sun you're in?
Yeah, the Calgary Sun.
On email addiction.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned you, Merlin.
Really?
Yeah.
In a good way.
If there's anyone who has a problem, it's that fellow Merlin man.
Last time he comes to Canada.
You're not invited back. The one I was really excited about that didn't make it was iStylet. Did you see that one?
You know, that lost so early on, I didn't get to review that myself.
Man, iStylet's awesome. It's like
bring
delicious.
Your wardrobe. Let me read it to you.
Bury for your clothes. Like, how fun is that?
It's one of the few women, by the way. All the women have gotten knocked out. Bring your wardrobe. Well, there's the problem right there.
But there's no female judges, I think. I went on there and I was kind of upset because I thought, wow, they should have some female judges.
They should have asked you.
Me or someone else, it doesn't matter, but it just would have been nice to have, because you would have had more apps that were a little more.
Yeah. Well, you might have liked this. See, no guy wants this, but bring your wardrobe into your iLife with iStylet.
Of course, I'm a guy,
Leo. Because you have a large t-shirt collection.
Shut up.
A virtual closet on your Mac. Shall I wear the Sloan t-shirt today? a virtual closet on your Mac. Pick your clothes with ease, store and rate your favorite outfits and share them with your friends. See, I think it is a great application, but I don't see any guy voting for that.
I think that's very short-sighted. I think if you live in San Francisco and had a way of going, here's the kind of jacket you might want to go grab today, or like the way that I use Delicious Library, for exactly one thing, which is to remember what box in the basement a book is in. And the same thing could go for your clothes. You could have...
It kind of is like Delicious Library for clothes.
Professor Rathole tonight. But the idea of, like, if I'm going to have my winter clothes stacked away somewhere and there's one sweater I want to find, if I had some way of knowing where that is... I mean, like there's a lot of... There may be men that do this too, but a lot of people who, like, put Polaroids on boxes that have, like, what shoes or clothes are in it.
Where is that new pornographer's t-shirt?
Wow.
Merlin, you're... find it.
You know what?
Merlin's more girly than I am.
you guys are all dead to me. Dead, dead.
Listen. I got to just get this on the record. Merlin is a guy who would rather have his computer put him to sleep and wake him up than a $2 alarm clock. He would rather have a fake plant software program than buying a stupid plant.
There is a trend here, isn't there? There is a trend.
Man.
And he needs to have some special software.
Ideas don't hurt, Scott. They're just
to help him find his shoes, whereas I just look down in my closet.
Okay.
Scott, you're a model. You're a model.
Get ready, Scott.
Productivity.
You
know what? I'm just going to cry.
I'm sure Merlin really liked this one, and this was one of my other favorite ones, and it's currently the number one application on mydreamapp.com. Atmosphere, a virtual window to the outdoors for your desktop. It shows you the weather. I love this idea.
I like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It shows, and it. But you
should. Yeah. God forbid you would actually open the window outside.
But it's got these beautiful pictures, and you know, if it's snowing out, snow will come down on your screen. If it's raining, rain will come down. The moon will rise up. I think this is a wonderful idea. I hope it gets made.
You guys are all living in Second Life. That's what's going on here.
Second Life all day today, I just have to say. So I would have.
You're kidding. You spent the day in Second Life?
Most of it, yeah.
You've got a wild job, I have to say.
You guys aren't real. I'm talking to Second Life characters here who only live life virtually.
Yeah.
There's the, they
just
missed
call
out
me
on
Prune Face Spatula.
One big opportunity, which is what I would like to see a virtual developer, where you could have a developer that you take care of online, and you could bring him coffee, and you could make apps for him, and you could basically just monitor yourself, just create an avatar that never has to leave the computer.
It's only a matter of time, really, before the computer just writes the programs for you. Just say, hey, computer, I'd like to have getting things done. And you could do this, and it'll say, okay.
Also, just in terms of prior art, it's worth mentioning. I don't know if you guys remember Dunstan Orchard. I think his site, he's not updating it much, but he used to actually do that weather thing really well. At 1976 design, numerals, that's 1976 design.
Was it a desktop thing, or what was it?
No, this is his webpage, and I think he works at Apple now. I'm not sure where he works.
I don't know his name.
But Dunstan, 1976 design, if you go to his blog, he did a really cool thing where he basically came up with all these little drawings he did of what outside his, where he lived, looked like. And then depending on the weather, it pulls up a different header for his webpage, depending on what the weather is.
Perfect.
Which, it's pretty clever the way he did it. And it shows
idea.
Like what time of day it is and stuff like that.
I think that's a wonderful idea. I think it's
okay.
A great idea. Oh, come on. Come on.
I'm going to go get a Merchant Ivory movie and a half gallon of ice cream, and I'm just going to cry myself to sleep, Scott. I hope you're happy.
Listen, I got news for you. We're going to make you a new application. It's a virtual napkin. And what you do is if you spill the ice cream on your shirt, you call up this virtual napkin, take a picture of yourself, and erase the ice cream in the picture. How's that?
I'm going to get you an iChew toy.
Well, as long as we're talking applications and
oh no,
and pizzizz,
good segue.
It's true.
You know what? At Merlin, I mocked pizzizz, and then I bought it.
They all mock pizzizz.
I bought it because you know what? It wasn't just you. Randall Schwartz, who's a great Perl programmer, sent me a note saying, "Oh, I love pizzizz. You got to try it." So I bought it. I've been taking pizzizz naps, and I love it. You're right. You're right. So anyway, I just want to apologize. And you know what I did? The pizzizz guy, after I bought it, he said, why are you buying it? And he sent me the money back, which I thought was kind of nice. They're in Britain. And he said, look, why don't you know, if you want, you can give a coupon code out to your listeners. So we have a coupon code. We get a little bit. We're basically splitting the proceeds. But it's a 25% off coupon code. Just put TWIT when you buy pizzizz, P-Z-I-Z-Z, or for Amber, it's P-Z-I-Z-Z. which I like
Thank
saying.
You.
I love saying that. PZIZZ.com and put TWIT in the coupon code when you buy it. Instead of $40, it'll be $30. And we get some money too, which is nice. It's kind of this is a new way. I decided not to do ads anymore. We'll just get coupon codes for everybody. What do you think?
Yeah. And next week we'll read your palm for $9.95.
We could do that. We could do that.
That's a great idea.
I sent Amber a pizzizz because she came straight from work, and I said, if you get a chance, Amber, take a 20-minute nap before the show. But she didn't get a chance. She had to eat and stuff. But
try it, Amber. See what you think.
I'd be very curious. I like it.
Is it just a 20? It's just 20 minutes of mellow music. Is that right?
Well.
Oh God! Here we go.
Should I play a pizzizz for you?
Do you have one handy? Could you?
I have pizzizzes always ready on my desktop.
You Californians, you're freaking me out. I don't know.
That's cool.
Do you have one?
That's cool.
Here comes a pizzizz. Listen, I actually volunteered to voice new.
Now that you're getting ready to enjoy some rest and relaxation,
some new tracks for us.
It's a good idea to ensure that you'll not be disturbed.
And he said, no, it's too complicated. You can't do it.
As possible, both.
Because I said, well, I want to do a branded pizzizz. What if we did a twit pizzizz?
Find a position for your body where you can relax completely.
Find a position for your body where you could listen to twit all
day so far for a little while.
Pretend you're Merlin Man.
As possible from this time out.
And you need help getting to sleep.
Listen. I will offer you some guidance for a few minutes to assist you in relaxing as completely as possible. And then...
Okay, now if people are listening to this in the car, there's going to be a problem, so I better turn it off because we don't...
I never realized how much he sounds like Hal.
He, you know, I think I insulted the guy because I sent him a note saying, if you'd ever, I tried to be a little, I said, if you'd ever like somebody with a mid-Atlantic neutral accent to do it, I would be glad to volunteer. And
don't have enough to do already, Lisa.
But I want to do some pizzizzing. But then it wouldn't be any good for me because I'd be talking to myself, and that would be kind of creepy.
Oh, that puts me to sleep, Leo.
But people have told me I have a soporific voice. That's why.
You do. It's very relaxing.
That's the nice way to put it.
And he took that in as kind of he took that as notes from you.
Yeah. Well, no. The guy's name is Edward Lang. Very nice guy. And he said, well, thanks for the offer of the voice talent. At the moment, all the recordings are done by Michael Breen, but you do have a nice voice. Which was, I thought, very diplomatic.
have you been doing them enough to find whether there's a certain length in minutes that tends to work for you?
The default is 20, and that seems to be fine.
Yeah, me too.
I don't always fall asleep, but often
me neither.
I do. Yeah, often I do. I always space out. Amber, you're going to love it.
Can I ask you a question? Are you listening to it on headphones?
Yeah.
Or do you have
can put it on your iPod.
Because if my roommate hears me listening to that, I'm going to get kicked out.
Jenna, you have time to relax now. The nice thing is you can put it on your iPod. It makes AAC files. They actually used to sell a Pizzizz device. That's how they started. But they wised up. Because it was like $250.
I think this entire podcast could actually be a 60-minute Pizzizz.
It is. It is. I think many people listen to this podcast before bed.
Aww.
And during bed. Sometimes they wake up and we're still talking.
It's called night terrors.
All right, a couple more stories before we move on. But I did want to mention that the coupon code is TWIT, if you P-Z-I-Z-Z, if you want to go to Pizzizz.com. Did you see that Eudora is going open source? I think this is kind of neat.
Yeah, because they're just on fire as a mail app.
Well, obviously, they couldn't keep it up to date. It was the definitive Mac mail app for years.
Oh, for a long time.
That's all I used for the first, 6 years that I was on the...
Sure you'd still be using it for some reason, Marilyn.
It's so funny. I've kind of said from time to time on 43 folders that it's... I don't know how to put this, but you so much adopt the kinds of practices that applications... You know,
they
cause
lead you
to learn.
Yeah,
exactly. So you get good bad habits or bad habits, and I got some of the worst habits from Eudora. I mean,
like what?
But it was it's so funny when I very 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 first moved to what was it, Outlook Express in something like 2000, something like that. It was the first time I'd ever dealt with the three-paned.
Okay.
And with Eudora, I had this, I had dozens of rules where they would all automatically go, all my in and out messages would go into the same window. So all my Leo messages. So when I came in the morning, check my messages and 35 windows would pop up.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew that I was done when all the windows were closed.
Yeah, Eudora was very windowy.
Well, it's actually interesting, though. I mean, actually not interesting probably to most people, but it's such a paradigm shift kind of with how the Mac has changed over the years. The Mac used to be much more windowed. All about the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah, although the earliest Mac designers were dead set against modality, as you know. I mean, that was kind of the kiss of death, and they...
That was a big turning point, wasn't it, when they finally decided to actually have these stackable windows?
Yeah, there was a raging battle over whether windows should be tiled or stackable. I don't think that was actually at Apple. I think that was earlier at Xerox PARC.
But, I mean, I probably adopted a whole bunch of other terrible habits from the other apps. But, yeah, I loved Eudora. I mean, as much as I love Pine, getting into a GUI app was,
Pine
fantastic.
Was a great program, though. I love Pine.
Can everybody say what mail app they use now?
I bet we all use mail.
I do.
Heather?
I do.
Heather?
Amber, I mean? I don't know why I said
people,
Heather. I'm sorry.
You have no idea how many people call me Heather. It's the
I apologize. Thing.
Alex Lindsay calls me Heather all the time.
Really?
Yeah,
that's why I did it, because I heard Alex call her Heather.
She
calls me Heather.
We used to have a woman on the show named Heather. I called her Amber. So,
that makes sense. I've been using Mail up until about a month ago, and now I'm on Gmail.
Yeah, 100%. Really?
Yeah.
I can't pronounce the name of my Mail app, but I like it.
What? Really? Is it a Mac app?
Yep, GYAZ Mail.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
GYAZ.
And why do you like it better than Mail?
It's fast. It it has a really cool search feature that I like to work with, and it doesn't crash.
I'm going to have to try it. I used for a long time, I used it was an IMAP application called from Mulberry from CyrusSoft. Mm-hmm. And then they went bankrupt, and now I think it's kind of open source. But it wasn't very good either, frankly.
Do you guys think Gmail will ever go IMAP? I mean, on the face of it,
I wish it would.
It seems like it depends on what their strategy is. On the one hand, it's a crazy thing to do because you're taking down so many page views. But so, Amber, you use a PowerBook or you use a Mac pretty much all the time, right? See, that's my problem. I don't know. Like, once you've gotten bitten in the butt by Pop a couple times in life, I never want to go off IMAP again.
No, IMAP's the way to go.
And that's why I'm so terrified. I mean, IMAP has kind of become my controlling metaphor.
You use Fastmail?
I use Fastmail.fm. Who actually did you have a little belch this week?
Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking of, there's a new IMAP company called Island Email, and they do some really neat things. They're for instance, there's no limit to the size of file attachments, no limit to the storage that you have.
Wow.
IslandEmail.com. They also use really good spam filtering from a company. The reason I found out about the guy Tom Johnson, who runs MailRoute, is a friend of mine, which is excellent server-side spam filtering. They use that. I think it's $39 a year per address. I think I have an account there, and I'm thinking of moving everything.
I might give it an experiment. You know, one thing I like about
IslandEmail.com. I'll give them a plug.
The one thing about Fastmail that a lot of people, I think, probably aren't using it or don't know is there is, you know, you get web dev space with Fastmail.
Right.
Which
you use that? Not a lot of space, though.
I've just fiddled with it a little bit. But for folks who don't want to pay $100 a year
for
.Mac, it's one way you can do iCal stuff, I believe.
I was using, for a while, Eudora had a feature. If the email, it would put really red hot chili peppers next to the email?
Oh, I love that. Yes. Like, I do remember
that. What was that based on? Profanity?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was basically, it had some kind of algorithm where it would look for cuss words and throw up chili peppers. I totally remember
Yeah. So I had a producer on Call for Help. George Crow was my producer of the show. And I told him about that. And in order to get me to answer his emails, he would start every email with fuck shit, piss, piss, fuck.
And there goes the glee tag.
I'll bleep it. But he would start every email with that.
Can we cuss for a while?
Yeah, let's everybody cuss and I'll bleep it all out.
Holy shit, I can't believe we can cuss.
Oh, wow.
Poor Amber. Amber, we've never done this before. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know,
it's really important that you edit this well.
I have never heard Amber cuss in my life.
Hey, listen, buff Nana.
And, Leo, do you remember the graphs?
No, the graphs of what?
To show you, it would show you trends over time, how much email you'd gotten over
time. Remember that. I remember that.
Oh, man, now I'm nostalgic. I love Eudora.
Well, maybe, you know, if it open sources and maybe they the real problem was its UI was so old school. If they updated.
Well, when was it? 2000, I think one of the reasons I left was they suddenly got very confusing to me with their
very
business
hard
model.
To use.
They started doing the whole ad thing where there were like two or three versions.
It was free and not
free. And then you had banner ads in your email.
Yeah,
and
I don't like that, yeah. The funny thing is I stopped using it, and every time George sends me email, it still starts with fuck shit, fuck. He just got it in his head that that's the best way to start an email to me. So anyway.
Oh, I think I need a damn sloth.
Leo, should I try that?
No, please don't, because it won't work anymore. I don't have chili peppers.
Okay.
There is a red nano. Oprah and Bono are made a red nano to benefit his Project Red, which is to raise money for AIDS awareness and AIDS research in Africa. $10 for each red nano goes to Project Red. That's cool. I see that the Gap has red clothes. This is becoming a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a funny article. I think it was on Gizmodo, where someone who works at, I think it's Staples in Canada, wrote a post about all of the iPods being shipped that have the code 666 at the beginning of them, and then he made some theory that the red iPod is the actual devil iPod. It was so weird. I'm spending too much time online. That's really what
poor
this
Amber
is.
This is her whole life now, is seeking weird stuff on the net.
Amber, did you get that email I sent you? I wanted to see if you could hold some money for me.
I have $18 million in the bank that I was supposed to buy guns with.
Wow, right. is that because your brother-in-law got something happened? Did he lost his watch or something like that?
It's such a long story. What happened was, anyway, I have a lot of money, and I'm in Nigeria, and
I just need somebody in Canada to help me get it, and I'll give you 10%.
Nice try. Actually, Merlin's more Canadian than I am, I think, too. He's more girly than I am. And more
He is. He apologizes for everything.
Because and that's Canadian, how, I'm not and that's how Merlin wants to be remembered, as a girly Canadian.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the Canadian
person. He wasn't very bright, and he didn't have a lot to say, but sure boy, was he girly and Canadian.
So we've offended the Swiss, the French, the Canadians, and a few red-colored devils. And that's, I think.
Do you know how much pull at Apple, Leo? Because I'm thinking you could actually get a Rickles tag. That would appear.
I do. You know, I will email Pete Alcorn and Scott Simpson, our good friends at the iTunes Music Store, and say, just for me, not clean, not explicit, just Rickles. I think it's good. You know, I started doing that. I got email because I started using it when I saw that you could use the clean tag. I started using it because we're clean. And I got email from people saying, no, you're misusing that. It's designed for songs that are explicit, but then edited, and now they're clean. So this is actually truly a clean podcast because it was explicit, but I've bleeped out.
It really means sanitized.
Sanitized. Redacted. And I said, so I sent a note to Scott and Pete, and I said, is that true? And they said, no, you can call it clean. And now everybody does it. I notice a lot of podcasts have the clean moniker. So I used to use it because it made us stand out, but now I have to change it to Rickles.
I've got to stop cursing. I get so much email from people. Ugh, you shouldn't every time curse. Anything. I know I shouldn't. Don't work blue. That's what they tell you.
Yeah. Once you go with blue, you can't go back.
That's true.
Amber knows. Amber, up yours, buddy. Amber knows. She's always she. I don't think I've ever heard Amber swear. Do you ever curse, Amber?
Not very often. No.
Why is that? Have you always been that way?
Yeah. I think it's just more my parents because I was never. I mean, if my dad heard me swear even now, he would find it kind of upsetting. Oh, not that they were really strict, but I think they just. They weren't big swearers, and it just wasn't really tolerated in our house growing up. And so I just kind of didn't do it, you know? And I don't know. It's one of those things, too, is like if I catch myself swearing now, it just seems so wrong. And it
feels funny when it comes out.
It's all how you're raised. I used to get a quarter every time I swore.
You get a little swear box they take money out of and give it to Merlin.
That's right. And, you know, I wanted to be able to get the fucking candy that I enjoy.
Don't sneak them in because one will leak out.
Yeah.
And then which happened once. Patrick on Twit accidentally, I missed one. He sneaks those fucks in and then you're...
You can't banana.
Have we done every fucking story on this list?
I think every single one of these fuckers that we have touched on tonight.
I'm not saying anything else.
Oh man, I got to get the bloop tool out. You know, they really should have a bloop tool in soundtrack. I don't know. Little button that you
I got a feeling this one's not going to be going up too soon.
You're
going
to be doing a lot of editing here, Leo.
I haven't been writing down any of the points either. That means I have to listen to the whole thing. All right, quickly, one of the things that we like to do at the end of every show is your picks. I didn't tell Amber about this, so Amber, you're off the hook.
Boy.
That's okay, and we'll give
just
you
have her go last. Now that's not fair, Leo. She looks at the internet all day. She's going to have something really good.
That's true.
Whoa, easy there, Merlin Hobo Man.
Oh, what's the matter? You afraid of a girl, Amber? You afraid to fight a girl?
And you Sloan loving hobo. Oh,
we got a geek fight. Geek fight. Oh,
what are you going to do? Throw your dungeon dice at me?
I'm excited. Okay, you start, Merlin. What's your pick of the week?
Mine was sent in by a reader of 43 folders, and I think this is kind of cute. It's monkeyon.com, one word, and it's a way to put a monkey on somebody's back. So it's a very simple
little... Jeez Louise.
You know, Scott, you're gonna have your chance.
An actual physical monkey?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I'm glad you asked, Leo. What we're going to do is we're going to really drill down and get an actual e-monkey. We're going to monetize by being able to open the kimono in such a way that net, by the end of the day, really what I'm saying is monkey on is a way
He's
to send a task.
He's channeling the phone guy again.
You send an email to somebody with a task in it. It's very simple. And it has a little basic. So if this could be one way my wife and I have started using this, and I'm sure she's going to start throwing stuff at me because I've been sending her monkeys.
I don't want my wife to find this site.
But you send a little note to somebody, and then it reminds them periodically until the thing is
done. Is it HTML email? I mean, what do you get?
Yeah, just a silly little.
I'm gonna send myself a monkey. Can you do that?
It's cute. And absolutely, I've sent myself several monkeys.
I have to have a password to use it. It looks like it's written in Ruby on Rails.
It's got that look. It's all got that shiny look.
Isn't there a Ruby look? All right, monkey on your back. It's monkeyon.com. Mr. Scott Bourne, you got a pick for us today?
I do, and it's for iTunes. If you want your iTunes experience to really improve, spend a couple of bucks and get the SRS iWow plugin. And I mean wow is the operative word. This thing will take whatever you're playing in iTunes and make it sound like you're at a concert hall. Really? You should play with this thing. It gives you spatial control. It lets you control where you're at in relationship.
Is it really spatial?
It's very spatial.
Okay.
And and it's made with shake and bake and not hell.
It's spatial.
It is really, I swear, if you try it, you're going to say, once again, Mr. Bourne, you have done it.
So it's surround sound. SRS is surround sound, right?
That's true, but that's not really all this thing does. It has a built-in EQ that's equalizer for those of you who are not pro audio folks, and it allows you to make the thing sound fuller that you're listening to without really understanding parametric equalization.
Well, and I certainly don't, so...
Instead of having to worry about whether you cut that notch filter or boost that frequency, you just... punch the button on iWow and it works great.
Cool. Well, I don't have a tip, but it's related to your tip. I don't have a pick, but I have a tip related to yours. We've been receiving a number of complaints from people saying that one podcast or another will crash their iPod. And it turns out there is a flaw in iPod's firmware. It's in the 5.1 generation iPods. A mono MP3 can actually crash people's iPods. Now, since all our MP3s are mono, I've been getting a huge number of people complaining about this. The answer is, and this is from an Apple tech note, turn off EQ.
Wow.
And it fixes it. So apparently it's a bug in the EQ, I think. But that's the fix. So if you have noticed that, and I'm not kidding, I'm getting a lot of people saying, hey, you know, and it's no one podcast, so I know it's nothing I'm doing. Hey, this will crash my iPod or that'll crash my iPod. Turn off the EQ. It happens on mono podcasts or mono content only.
So if we made a stereo MP3, we'd be fine.
Right. But they're twice as big.
And so just for the people like me out there, you would go to the top level, he says, picking up
in settings.
Video.
It's in the settings menu.
And then you can just turn EQ off under settings, go to EQ.
Yep. And just select off. I don't use the EQ. Do you use it, Scott? You're an audio guy. Do you use the EQ in the iPod?
Well, now that I have this SRS plugin, it actually takes control of the EQ in iTunes. So I'm not quite sure how this would be impacted by this little bug.
But this is only in the iPod. Does it? If you use the SRS plugin, does it change the music so that it stays that way on the iPod, or is it only in iTunes?
It's only in iTunes, I guess it'd be all right.
You'd be all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Leo, just a quick question about that. I just got an email today from someone who was saying that Command N, my video podcast, is freezing their iPod because there's a problem with the firmware, and they've started a petition online, firmware 12sucks.blogspot.com.
Yep.
So this is for video with some of the video podcasts.
1.2
video on the iPod. Yeah.
Has been awful.
Yeah, this guy has started a petition. He's talked to Apple. Actually, I think it's a woman. Anyway, just got this email literally a few hours ago.
Yeah, in fact, a number of people have said, why aren't you talking more about the awful 1.2 firmware upgrade? I haven't had any problems with it. Actually, I take it back. I did have to format. I had to restore one iPod after I put 1.2 on it. And then when I restored it, I formatted it for Windows. And it fixed it. So, but I think Windows people are actually having more trouble with it. So if you have problems with your 1.2, maybe this is something worth looking into. Also, as long as we're talking about picks, don't forget PZIZZ. PZIZZ.com and use the coupon code TWIT for 25% off. Amber, we've given you as much time as we can.
Sure, I'm all set. I guess my pick this week is something I have to say that I haven't tried this out yet, but it's called The Filter, and it's a Windows plugin for iTunes. And what it allows you to do is to go into iTunes and get iTunes to actually create a mix for you. So you go and you put some samples of songs, and then it finds similar songs, and so it creates sort of custom playlists without you having to go through your entire library.
I like that.
It's very cool. So you imagine that you want to go on a run and you have some really upbeat music. You throw a few songs in there and then it spits out some other music that's kind of like that. So they say that they're coming out with a Mac version right now. They just have Windows. And also, I know there is a Mac download, and I just confirmed this on Lifehacker, called Music IP Mixer, and I showed that off on Call for Help a while ago. But it seems like the filter might be better when the Mac version comes out. So
also, via waxy.org, SoundFlavor and BeTunes, BeATunes, are two alternatives.
All of these cool. Make specialized playlists for you based on your taste?
That's right.
Okay.
I think that's correct. Isn't that right, Amber?
Yeah, it says with a common theme. So exactly, based on the theme of types of music. So if you imagine...
It's on genre. It's based on genre.
Exactly.
Interesting. Really cool.
Yeah.
It looks like the sound flavor will do it based upon, like it says, according to this, it'll do it based on years or style. Sound, yeah. Once again, no due diligence.
We haven't done any testing. We just think it might work, and you might like it.
You know what you ought to do is update your firmware. That's your problem.
That's your problem. Right there. Turn off EQ.
And reinstall that operating system.
I think it's the one thing I miss most about doing a Call for Help with Amber is she always came in with fun stuff like that, and I learned so much about that. You can catch Amber MacArthur, though, on City News International every single weeknight. On City TV, if you're Toronto West, right?
Actually, west of Toronto is CP24. In Toronto, it's City TV. But more importantly, all the segments are on the web at citynews.ca/international. And my segment's called World Wide Web. And although you might not know it, when you click on that on the homepage, it's actual video, so you can watch the segment I do every
night.
And
Amber gets $3 every time you click. So make sure.
I get no money, but I might be able to keep my job. So if you click there, that's great.
I think
great.
You're going to keep your job. The segments are great. I don't know how you do that. I mean, they're about 8,000 edits in each of them. They're very fast-paced, very well done. I had no idea. If we'd known you were that good, we wouldn't have let you go.
I have a good team of people working with me on that stuff.
People.
And there's a Starbucks across the street. So
that's all Amber needs. Scott yep. Bourne is with the iLife Zone. And, of course, you've started another blog. You've got podcasting tricks and you've got the Aperture Tricks. What's the new one?
The new one is called Podcast Gear Guy, and I just reviewed gear for podcasters, and I'm kind of following in Merlin's footsteps, Leo. He's got 43 folders. I'm looking for 43 blogs.
I have a website called 83problems, .org. I haven't put anything on it yet, but I'm thinking.
That's a Buddhist thing? That's nice.
Yeah. I heard somebody say that. I don't know if it was Alan Watts or somebody that everybody – it's a famous Buddhist story, a story about Buddha where everybody has 83 problems. And I thought, I'm registering that.
And the 84th problem is thinking you shouldn't have problems.
Exactly. Very good. So that maybe I'll just put that on the site. That's it. It's an easy site to maintain. So podcastgearguy.com, and I agree with you on your post on the AKG K240s. I have a 240S. That's what I'm wearing right now, and it's my favorite. Every guy in radio has worn these for years. I just love them.
Me too. I'm wearing them right this minute.
Yep. They're so comfy. There's a nice picture of him wearing them, in fact, on his page. And I guess we should mention, because I think we've already broken the story, that Scott and I and Alex Lindsay are going to do a new video podcast called Gear Media Tech, and it'll kind of take off on this podcast, gearguy.com. Did you just do something with your cheeks?
I just swallowed a hamburger.
I was giving you golf claps. I could. Now, you're going to have to edit that out now.
Wow.
Oh, man. You know what? I think you just lost your Rickles tag.
Is it now Andrew Dice Clay tag? Is that what we're saying? Is it the Dice Man?
Oh, God. Little Bo Peep started a podcast. Ba-ding, ba-doom.
Merlin Mann is at 43folders.com, but you know, we haven't plugged it in a while. I think we should. Fives. The number 5, IVES dot, is it org?
Fives.com, 5ives.com, finally got an update. I think the last one was during the Johnson administration, if you know what I mean. And so our latest one, the latest.
I just got it. 5 possible signs your congressman thinks your teenage son is hot.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
No.
If you're getting mysterious dinner time calls from the underwear police that are actually coming from Capitol Hill.
No, stop right there. I don't want you number 2.
This is for the kids, Leo.
Okay.
If you receive
they need to know this.
give me a minute. If you get an invitation to a congressional lap sitting session, make sure that's not coming from an AOL address, because that's not really from the actual Congress.
If it doesn't say whitehouse.gov.
No, in fairness, that's going to be a congressman, but it's not official.
We're burning in hell for this, you know.
No, not us, Mark Foley.
Congressional lap sitting.
Extravagant gift of Gladiator movie box set, personally delivered by your representative in full Gladiator costume. I love these. Five things you did while MySpace was down. Amber, you're spending a lot of time on MySpace lately. You've cleaned up the site. You've put in some wallpaper.
Yeah, I have insomnia, Leo.
She can't sleep. It's all that Starbucks coffee.
I don't know. MySpace is really ugly, but I think I found a pretty good template for my MySpace.
Where did you find that? It's pretty.
I think it's called Killer. Oh, I can't remember what it is. I have it on MySpace. Just myspace.com/AmberMacArthur. Kiwi Killer or something like that. Killer Kiwi .net. Sorry.
Easy for you.
PZIZZ.com. KillerKiwi.net.
KillerKiwi.net. So, I've been spending some time there. It's a fun place, and it's not raining. Sorry, that was just bad joke. It's been raining in Toronto for days.
I know, and it's freezing cold. I watch I have a little weather bug on my desktop to know what it's going to be like in Toronto when I go up there, and it's not been pleasant. 2 feet of snow in Buffalo, just a little south.
Yeah, we didn't get any snow, so it's been decent here, and it's supposed to actually warm up a little bit for a few days, so hurry up and get here, Leo.
I am coming soon, and in a few months, I have to say, maybe I had a little too much coffee, but I made a CSS-based signature for my email, and I sent it to Merlin Mann, and he said, if you put that in Comic Sans, add a linen background, and put in your home address, and remove all the useless security stuff, you're totally my mom. So, but don't you like how I've got a little pen next to the email address and a little mail?
That's
thing
so people know you're.
I got a little a telephone next to my phone number.
You have a little dancing kitty next to your MySpace page
you like
for
that?
Your cat.
Do you like that?
I love that.
Yeah, that's all CSS, you know.
That is precious.
I found some page somewhere that said how to make a CSS signature. And I don't know what I must have been up late. Must have had insomnia.
We should all have a show for like ADD and insomnia or something, because it seems
this
like
is the ADD show. The only person on this show who does not have ADD is Scott Bourne, and he's got gout. So it's really all right, ladies and gentlemen. With that, we still need a tagline, kids.
Lost the Rickles tag.
That's it.
Lost the Rickles tag.
We've lost the Rickles tag, and we are out of here.
Question, Leo, why is your avatar on Skype a woman with a red dress?
Whoops.
The line's breaking up.
I can't hear you.
Got a little Mark Foley going on there.
That's my gladiator costume. No, that is an honor.
Name, Hot Gal 84.
Come on and see my MySpace.
that's supposed to be me, Amber. That's it looks like a woman with.
Sorry.
Who's girly now?
No, that's an. Oh, but I better change that quick.
I didn't know we were all going to get dressed up for the occasion. If I had known.
I'm going to send you the full picture because you can't really. It doesn't do it justice as a thumbnail. It's an anime animation of me. I've got big eyes.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe that's the real me?
This is what's living inside this body of a 50-year-old man. Is this a beautiful red dress woman? At least it's got gray hair.
All right, can we point out that this looks absolutely nothing like you?
It's got gray hair, big eyes, big brown eyes, big beautiful brown eyes. That's
me.
Is that
how you see yourself?
That's how I see. Isn't that how I look? What are you laughing at?
Why can't you see beyond the outside?